Peace be with you. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus also said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." Beloved, we have come together today to remember a dear saint, a husband, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, a brother, an uncle, a friend. And as we remember him, we sorrow and we mourn, but we do not grieve without hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, we can find comfort in our sorrow. We've come together to renew our trust in Christ, who by dying on the cross has freed us from eternal death, and by rising from the grave has opened for us the gates of paradise. Let us be thankful that Elmer DeBoer now shares in Christ's victory over death. And let us pray that our Lord may grant us the gift of his loving comfort. Let us pray. Our Father, you are our Creator and our Redeemer. You are the comforter of those who sorrow. And today sorrow does pierce our hearts. We keenly feel the loss of Elmer DeBoer. We grope for words to express our pain. And Lord, you know our needs before we even ask. You are ready to supply them all out of the riches of your grace in Jesus Christ. So today, as we remember, as we grieve, as we mourn, we pray that you would show us your grace. As we face the mystery of death, let us see the light and hope of eternity. Speak to us by your Spirit. Comfort us. Help us to live in the comfort of knowing the truth of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, root us in your word. Comfort our hearts. Strengthen our faith. And remind us of Jesus' victory over the grave. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Please turn with me in your Psalter hymnals. They're the blue books found in the rack in front of you. To number 408. Number 408, "Great is thy faithfulness." Let us sing together all the stanzas of "Great is thy faithfulness."
Mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Beloved, in our time of grief and mourning, let us turn our ears and hearts to the Word of God, our source of comfort for broken hearts, our source of courage for steadfast life, and our source of hope for eternal glory. For as Psalm 124 reminds us, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. From Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Our Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and they will listen to my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The Apostle Paul asks in the book of Romans, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle John, seeing with the eyes opened by the Holy Spirit, wrote of the eternal joy awaiting those who are united to Christ. He writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. And Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, Adam Kruger, who is one of Elmer's married to one of Elmer's granddaughters, will play When Peace Like a River. Thank you, Adam. In our Lord Jesus Christ, we can truly say it is well with our souls, for we know that our sin has been nailed to the cross and we bear it no more. And so we have the hope of eternal life in heaven, bought for us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In this church, in Elmer's church, we use a document that's known as the Heidelberg Catechism. It was written in 1563 to be a tool to teach Christians the truths of Scripture. It faithfully summarizes what God teaches us in His Word. And throughout the centuries, this document, the Heidelberg Catechism, has been called the Church's Book of Comfort, because over and over again, it reminds us of the sweet comfort we have in Jesus Christ. Question number one asks, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer the Catechism gives, the answer that Elmer would give, the answer we all can give in Jesus Christ is this, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Later, the Catechism asks, how does Christ's resurrection benefit us? And the answer is, first, by His resurrection, He has overcome death so that He might make us share in the righteousness He won for us by His death. Second, by His power, we too are already now resurrected to a new life. Third, Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our own glorious resurrection. Even now, as we mourn, we have confidence that is given to us by Christ's glorious resurrection. Even as we laid Elmer to rest this morning, we can cling to the promise of his own glorious resurrection, bought for him by Christ. This comforts us because not only his soul has been taken immediately after this life to Christ, its head, but even his very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with his body and made reunited with his soul and made like Christ's glorious body. The Catechism, summarizing what is taught to us in 2 Corinthians 4, assures us that after this life, I will have perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no man has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally. That was the faith that Elmer had. There can be no doubt that he had that believing heart, because his love for Jesus and his confidence in him shone in everything he said, in the way he lived his life, thankfully and joyfully, in the power and comfort of Christ. Let us pray for that comfort in Christ. Our Father, we pray that you would grant us the comfort that comes from knowing Jesus. Like the disciples, we ask, to whom else should we go? For only Jesus has the words of eternal life. We make our hearts still before you and ask you to rub the balm of comfort into our souls. Our Father, your love for us is everlasting. You alone can shine the light of healing and hope into the darkness of this world. Help us to turn to you for that peace. In this time of loss, our hearts have been shaken. We may be tempted to doubt. We may be tempted to fear. We lift up our voices with the psalmist and ask, how long, O Lord? And so we pray in response that you would fill us with comfort, that you would shelter us in your wings. Let your goodness and your mercy follow us all the days of our lives, even when we do walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Teach us to fear no evil. Teach us to know that you are with us to comfort and to bless. We pray especially for this family, for a loving wife, for grieving children, for hurting grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Today and in the coming months and years, rub the balm of comfort into their souls. A loss like this reminds us that we live in a broken world, and we look to you now to heal our broken hearts. We know this is a pain and a loss that we'll carry with us for the rest of our earthly pilgrimage. So comfort us with the thought of the day when our pilgrimage will be over and when you will wipe every tear from our eyes. Lift us above the darkness and distress of this day into the light and peace of your presence. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to be reading from two passages this morning. The first is Psalm 8. If you want to follow along in the Pew Edition Bible, Psalm 8 is found on page 450. Psalm 8 is a very familiar, very beloved psalm. In fact, it was Elmer's favorite psalm. Psalm 8 bears the title, How Majestic Is Your Name? Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll also be reading from Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar, very loved passage from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, if you're using the Pew Edition Bible, that's page 811. We'll be reading verses 25 through 33 of Matthew chapter 6. This is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Praise God for the gospel of his Son. Teeny, John and Denise, Judy and Dave, Jeff and Judy, Jody and Mark, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, family and friends. A few hours ago, the family gathered in the cemetery, and we said our final goodbyes to Elmer DeBoer. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 4 that it is appropriate for Christians to grieve and sorrow. But he reminds us we do not grieve as those who have no hope. We are here to celebrate that hope. We are here to celebrate the life and mourn the death of Elmer DeBoer. And as we do, we feel a paradox, hurt and hope. Sorrow and joy, tears and comfort. And those are appropriate things for us to feel as we part with someone we love. To help us in this time, we turn to the words of Scripture. We read from Elmer's favorite psalm, Psalm 8. And Psalm 8 is a psalm that reminds us of the God who is sovereign over all things. The majesty of God is affirmed and celebrated at the beginning and the end of this psalm with that repeated refrain, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." It's a hymn of praise, celebrating the majesty of God as it's shown in the world around us. "I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place." And it doesn't really surprise me that Elmer was fond of this psalm. Elmer was known as being a quiet and thoughtful man, and beneath that gentle and kind demeanor, he was a man who noticed things. He noticed and celebrated the beauty of creation. He loved golfing, he loved fishing, he loved whitewater rafting, he loved cliff jumping. He and Teeny traveled many places and saw many beautiful things. Elmer was known for working with his hands. He noticed the beauty and the colors and the textures of wood. And so many of us here have maybe a set of building blocks or a cutting board or a bookshelf or some other perfectly crafted work of art made by Elmer, maybe with the help of his friend Bill. What a great reminder of a great man who delighted in the simple beauty that God put into this creation. And Elmer always noticed the beauty in people, too. And that's another emphasis of Psalm 8. Each human being is made special. Each human being is made in the image of God. And Elmer celebrated that. He was gentle. He was kind. He took time for people. Elmer was a good and faithful friend. He was a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather who loved and gave of himself. He was a husband who cherished and encouraged his wife for 62 years. He was a man who loved his church family. He served as an elder, a spiritual leader, and always as a friendly face for anyone who needed him. He and Teeny welcomed everyone into this church. He had a warm smile for anyone who needed it and was always willing to make time for others. It's estimated that Elmer spent more than 600 hours working on this church building. And that's not even counting the days he spent mowing the lawn. And he spent even more time praying for and working with and loving on the people in this church. Yes, Elmer was a man who took delight in the beauty of this world and its inhabitants. And Elmer took such a delight in this world because he took such a delight in the creator of this world. The God described in Psalm 8 is all powerful and all glorious, and creation reflects that glory. But even though creation expresses God's glory, reveals his existence and his wisdom and his great power, the beauty of creation is only a small taste of the surpassingly greater God who stands behind it. Psalm 8 verse 1 says that God has established his glory above the heavens. Elmer lived his life in praise of that creator who is glorious above our comprehension. Elmer lived his life coram Deo, which means before the face of God. He offered up his work, his energy, his love as an act of worship to this glorious God. Now to know that greatness and glory of God is to be humble. In light of that glory, our response is the question posed in verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? How small we are in this creation. Our time on earth is very, very brief. And that's why God's care for us is so astonishing. The God of this vast and beautiful universe, the God who made it and orders it, notices us and cares for us. And that truth is very humbling. What is man that you are mindful of him? But when you know that the God who is our Creator is also our loving Heavenly Father, this truth is also very comforting, humbling and comforting. And that's the second passage we read from Matthew 6. This is the passage that Elmer's father, Art, gave him when Elmer entered the service. Do not be anxious about your life. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are not you of much more value than they? And that's a passage that Elmer cherished throughout his service in the Korean War and that he carried with him through his whole life. To know the care of our heavenly Father teaches us patience, teaches us contentment, teaches us humility, a deep-seated peace, no matter what life throws at you. And those are all things that describe Elmer DeBoer, not because he was such a strong man in himself, but because he knew the strength of his Heavenly Father. And that peace and that contentment, those are very necessary things for living in a world such as ours. Because life can be very difficult. The circumstances that surround us can threaten to overwhelm us. Worry and anxiety and fear can cloud our hearts. And those are just the external things. If we take a look inside ourselves, we see sin. We hurt others. We hurt the ones we love. We hurt ourselves. That's the way we were born. Sinners. With that built-in tendency, that gravitational pull towards selfishness and hurtfulness, that inclination to not enjoy this creation for what it is, but to abuse it and abuse others. And sin like that causes suffering. It gives us baggage and messes in our hearts. And some of the suffering we face, like Elmer's ALS, like the loss of a loved one, that suffering is merely the result of living in a broken world, a world that's not the way it should be. And we all sense that, especially at a funeral, that this world is not the way it should be. And in a broken world like ours, and with hearts broken by sin like ours, we have a desperate need for hope. This world needs to be set to rights. We need to be set to rights. But if we try to put ourselves back together, if we try to fix ourselves, we won't find the hope that we need. If you try to find that hope in yourself or in the world, all that you see is suffering. And so you fall into worry, into fear, into anxiety. But then we look back at Psalm 8. We look at Matthew 6. We look at the testimony of Elmer's life. And there we see contentment. There we see what a life that's lived with humble hope looks like. Well, so where does that hope come from? Because when we looked at the greatness of the glory of God, and when we look then at the darkness of our own hearts, and we look at the reality of the brokenness and the death that's in this world, we don't see hope. When we realize that we're sinners, we see a very holy God, and we see just how far we've fallen short of living holy and loving lives. We sinners can't stand in the presence of this majestic God that's celebrated in Psalm 8. But the good news of the gospel, the news that's proclaimed from this book, the news that made the difference in Elmer's life and can make the difference in your life is this, that our God is a God of grace. And in His grace, God has provided that hope for sinners. In that grace, He has noticed you. He has loved you. He has cared for you. God has provided healing for hurting hearts. God sent His Son into the world to die the death that we sinners deserved. The death of Jesus was the showcase of God's grace. Jesus, the very Son of God, who shared in that infinite glory of God, He was willing, in the words of Psalm 8, to be made a little lower than the angels. He was willing to be humbled. He was willing to take on human flesh so that He could reach down to individual hurting sinners and work in their life and give them hope. He was willing to die to bring that hope to a hurting world. And because of that great act of love, when we trust and put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have every reason to hope. We have every reason to trust. We have every reason to be content. For now, through Jesus Christ, we know God not only as the Creator, the majestic King of the universe, but also as our loving Heavenly Father. And that's where the contentment, the comfort, the patience, the joy comes from. That's why Jesus taught us to not be anxious for anything. And that peace that passes understanding is ours even in death. Here's the thing. Elmer knew where he stood with God. He knew that his sins were paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when you know, like Elmer did, where you stand with God, then death is not something to fear. Yes, death is sad. Yes, death is hard. Saying goodbye, like we've said goodbye to Elmer, is very painful. But it's not the end. It's not something to be feared anymore. Because the story of Jesus did not end with the death that He died for sinners like you and me. On the third day, He rose from the dead, demonstrating once and for all that He has conquered death and bought us a place in His kingdom. And that resurrection guarantees that for those who are found in Jesus, death is not the end. There is the hope of heaven. Right now, even though his body is buried in the cemetery, Elmer in his soul is resting with Jesus in the tearless bliss of paradise. The day before he died, I visited Elmer. And I asked him and I asked Teenie, how can I pray for you? And before Teenie could answer, Elmer got in the first word, which is not always something that's easy to do with Teenie. And Elmer told me, I want to go home. Elmer didn't fear death, even at the end, because he trusted in his faithful Savior. He knew that since Jesus died and rose for him, death was just the entrance into glory. Earlier this morning in the cemetery, we read 1 Corinthians 15. And that passage reminds us that there's another step. When Jesus returns to this earth in glory, Elmer and all those who are in Christ will be raised in perfection to live and reign with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. Everything that's broken will be restored. Everything that's messed up will be set to right. Everything that's unjust and unfair and untrue will be undone. Relationships that have been cut short will be reunited with no fear of parting or hurt. When Jesus shall come with shout of acclamation and renew this creation and make it our eternal home, what joy shall fill our hearts. Even now, Elmer is worshiping his Savior, proclaiming, "My God, how great thou art." What a hope. What a comfort. What a cause for rejoicing. So let's join in the song. Let's join in the praise of our Creator by turning to the song, How Great Thou Art. It's printed in your bulletin, How Great Thou Art. How Great Thou Art. And let's sing together the four stanzas. God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. But when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and claim His own, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Let us pray.
Our Father, you are a God of hope, which is just who we need you to be today. We live in a world full of false hope, empty promises, and unfulfilled expectations. But in you, we find a peace that passes understanding. In you, we find a love that will not let us go. In you, we find a guide to lead us all our journey through. In you, we find a reason not to be anxious or to fear. We thank you for the hope that Elmer clung to, Christ in him, the hope of glory. We thank you that he faced death not with fear, for he knew that his Savior had conquered it. We thank you for the promise of paradise and of resurrection to follow. Now, Lord, teach us to live our lives with hope. Enable us now to press on toward Christ, so that after our earthly race is run, we too can face death without fear, knowing that Christ has faced it for us. We long for the day when you reunite us with those we love, when every tear is wiped away, when death and sorrow and parting are no more, and above all, the day when we shall see Christ face to face. In his name, amen.